This episode of All Have Another is brought to you by Prep Dish. Prep Dish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. When you sign up, you'll receive an email every week with a grocery list and instructions for prepping your meals ahead of time. After only 1 to 3 hours of prepping on the weekend, you'll have all the meals ready for the entire week. You'll save time and have amazingly delicious meals like smoky paprika chicken legs with roasted carrots, parsnips and fennel, or turkey and zucchini lasagna. Allison is offering you, listeners of All Have Another, a free, absolutely free, two-week trial to try it out. So go to prepdish.com/another for this amazing deal. Again, prepdish.com/another, and use the promo code ANOTHER in all caps to get this deal. You guys, take advantage of the offer. I've been talking to people about this all the time lately. Everybody's like, I get home from work and I don't want to mess with dinner. Hello, do it Sunday, get it prepped, have it ready to go. It's in your fridge. You can pull it out when you get home from work or get home from your kids up from school, whatever you're doing, and throw it in the oven. Prepdish.com/another. Welcome to All Have Another. You are listening to episode 31. How are we at 31 episodes already? I have no idea. I'm talking to my good friend, Jenny Poore. Jenny and I met probably, 5 years ago, through the powers of social media, of course. She had a pretty awesome marathon progression and she took her time all the way down to 3:11. So we talk about how she got there and what that looked like. And then we also talk about her recent engagement, her upcoming wedding, and reasons why she's decided right in the heart of training not to run the Chicago Marathon this fall. And I think that her answer will resonate with a lot of you. What I love about Jenny so much is that she keeps it real, she works hard, but she doesn't take things too seriously. I just really admire and respect her for the way she trains for races. She does her own thing, she does what works for her, and she's proven that it does work. So I want to tell you guys about one of my favorite races that's coming up, the CNO Financial Indianapolis Monumental Marathon. It's a marathon, a half marathon, a 5K, and a kids fun run. And it's taking place on Saturday, November 5th, downtown Indianapolis. You guys know that if you follow me on Twitter, I talk about this race all the time. I'm obsessed with it. I've ran it 3 times myself. The first time I ran it was, I think it was my 4th marathon, and Glenn and I decided literally the night before that we were going to run this marathon. I think the most I'd ran before it was like 12 miles, so don't do that ever. Nobody do what I did. This was like in 2009, so I had no idea what I was doing. So we ran it that year with our headphones, and we had a lot of fun. I remember it was a really windy day, but we were very novice, and we didn't know what we were doing. So we struggled through the race, finished it, and I've ran it 2 other times since then. I actually ran it when I was 6 weeks pregnant with little Marshall, with my friend James Boyd from Back on My Feet, and that was a really cool experience. And the funny thing about that is that year I had just gotten back from vacation with Glenn, and I had been feeling sick that entire vacation. And I was totally in denial that I was pregnant. And I was like, I don't want to take this test because I really want to run this marathon with James tomorrow. And I'm afraid if I find out I'm pregnant, I will decide not to run it. Even though I was running at a much slower pace and it was totally safe for me to run the marathon, I waited. And then the day after the marathon, I took the pregnancy test and I was very pregnant. So that was special. And then I ran it exactly 1 year later, 4 months postpartum after having Marshall. I do not recommend running a marathon 4 months postpartum, but it was a lot of fun and, well, wait, I'm lying. It wasn't a lot of fun. I went out way too fast and I struggled to finish the race. But you know, you live and you learn. I definitely will not be running a marathon 4 months postpartum this time. But anyway, back to the Monumental Marathon. This is my family's favorite race. They're involved in it every year in some way, shape, or form. Glenn's marathon PR is on this course. He ran his 2:49 in 2014 on this course. I may or may not be more proud of that time than he is. And then last year, neither of us were able to participate, And so we set up a water stop right out in front of our house on the half marathon course. So this year, if you run the race, which you should because it's awesome, look for me. I will probably be right outside around mile 9 on the half marathon course wearing a baby because I'm due about a week and a half before the race, or 2 weeks. And I can't wait to cheer for you all. Just so you guys know, this race has been nationally recognized by Runner's World as one of the 10 great marathons for first timers. So make sure you register soon. The marathon has sold out for the past 4 years, and the half marathon is expected to sell out this year as well. To register, you'll go to monumentalmarathon.com for more information. Make sure you send me a tweet or post on Instagram something to let me know that you're running if you do choose to run. Okay, so this is officially the longest intro ever, but if you are a regular listener to this show, would you go subscribe and rate and review the show on iTunes? I'd really appreciate it. It is the absolute best way for people who don't know about us to find us. Okay, I will close up here and we'll go ahead and get started talking with Jenny.
Lindsay Hine.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for joining. I'll have another.
I'm so excited to chat with you for the next hour or so.
How's it going? What's going on? Are you working from home?
I'm working from home today. It's Friday, hanging out with the dog.
Barkley Ann.
Yeah, she's sleeping on the couch right now. I started a new job in January, and before that I was working 100% from home, and now I can just like work from home whenever I want, but I'm mostly in the office. It's just nice to have those days where you can just like sit around in your PJs and still get stuff done.
So when you go to work, do you dress up?
I don't. I mean, our culture is like super, super relaxed. I would say like everybody typically wears, like I would wear jeans and like a cute top and some flats. It's not like dressy at all.
Isn't that nice though? Because it's nice to be in your pajamas all the time. It's nice to be able to 2 to 3 days a week, like actually put makeup on and feel good about yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I worked from home for 4 years and it was like, it's really lonely to work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think a lot of people really kind of glamorize it a little bit. Like, oh my God, you can like work in coffee shops and you can like go mm-hmm. wherever you want. But it's so lonely because like you're literally just like and you kind of go stir crazy because mm-hmm. you're either in your apartment or your home with your dog and you're only talking to your dog.
I know when the boys are at school, I sometimes come home and work, but also my sister works from home. So a lot of times I'll just go up to her house, and though we will be working separately and doing our own thing, I just don't really want to be alone right now. Like I want to be around someone where if I have something I want to say, like I'm not talking to the wall.
Yeah, totally. I totally get it.
Or a 3-year-old. Where were you working though?
I was working for a sales consulting firm.
Okay.
So it was just like this job that I got that I was really interested in going into digital marketing. And actually one of my friends knew somebody that knew this guy that had his own private sales consulting firm, and he just needed somebody to like start his content marketing and his social and do all that stuff. And I was interested in doing it, so that's what I did.
And so you were there for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then why did you leave and where are you at now?
I left because, well, there are a couple of reasons why I left, and I think that it's just because it's really hard to progress in your career if you're working for a really small company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's an entrepreneur. He teaches at the business school here in Chicago, at Chicago Booth, and I just felt like I needed to go somewhere where I felt like I could kind of articulate, like, how I wanted to progress professionally, and you can't really do that at one level. Like, you need to learn. Company. So now I'm at a social media management company and I'm in sales. So I went back to sales. Yeah.
Is that what you went to school for? Sales?
No. Oh. I went to school for international studies.
Oh. What were you going to do with that?
I had no idea. I mean, like most college students, you're like, I don't know, like I'll figure it out when I graduate. That obviously didn't happen. I thought that I would go, it sounds weird, but I actually thought that I would go into urban planning.
Okay.
That was something that really interested me. And I took a lot of urban planning classes at DePaul at school. But it was never something that like I could like concretely say, like, this is what I want to do with my degree. And then it was also super hard to get a job when I graduated college because it was 2010 and the economy was terrible. Mm-hmm. Nobody was offering jobs. So like I just got a sales job because I had to. Like I had to pay my bills.
Mm-hmm. So you're a twin.
Yeah.
So your twin sister is Lindsay, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then Brittany, you have another sister, Brittany.
Yeah.
And then you have Chris.
Yep. And then I have another brother, Corey.
Okay.
So I'm one of five.
Corey's the one I don't know anything about then.
Probably because he's not a runner.
That's probably why. But here's my question about being a twin. Did Lindsay go to DePauw too? Like, did you guys go to college together?
No, we didn't.
Okay. So is that at that time in your life, was that when you kind of like went your separate ways and was it super sad?
It was. I mean, it was super sad, but I think that in high school, we always had different friend groups anyway.
Okay.
And like we didn't spend a lot of time together in high school. And I think that's probably just because we were like trying to just like be our own people.
Yeah.
And then I don't think that we ever assumed that we would go to the same school. Lindsay went to school for landscape architecture. So she went to Ball State. And then I just had this feeling like I didn't want to go to IU or Purdue because I felt like that's where all my friends were going.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love Chicago. So I was like, I'm just going to apply to DePaul and we'll see like what happens. And yeah, I mean, we left each other and I don't think that we ever really thought that that was going to be like something that we would do, like to go to college together. But then it's kind of funny because like distance, like obviously like makes you like pay attention to your relationships. And mm-hmm. so like we would talk on the phone a lot because we were going through very different college experiences. Like I went to a private school in Chicago and like I lived in the city and she went to basically like a state school in the middle of nowhere. So it was just like interesting to compare our experiences.
Cause I feel like twins have this bond. Do you feel like you have a bond, a different kind of bond with Lindsay than you do with Brittany?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So Brittany is 2 years older.
Okay.
And Brittany was obviously great to like just grow up knowing that like there's this like amazing motivated person. Like Brittany played every single sport basically in high school that you could play.
Okay.
She played 12 seasons.
Oh my gosh.
That's insane. She was one of two girls to do that.
Oh my gosh.
So Brittany was like crazy motivated in school and like in extracurricular activities and stuff like that. So yeah, Brittany was like busy doing a lot of that stuff in middle school and high school. And Lindsay and I just like, you know, while we had our different friend groups and stuff like that, but like I definitely still feel like when I'm going through something, Lindsay automatically knows how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like she just like gets it on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because like, you know, you grow up like always having that person to talk through stuff. But it's interesting because now, I mean, I have two twin nephews, 9 now. It's really interesting to be a twin and to like see them grow up as twins.
Mm-hmm.
Because they definitely have different personalities. Like that's what I love about like experiencing Carson and Cooper, like having that relationship. Like they're totally different.
So you grew up in Zionsville, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then you moved to Chicago for college and you never looked back.
And I never came back. And I don't think I will.
Now, what part of the city do you guys live in?
We live in Wicker Park.
And then you recently got engaged.
Yeah.
To Manny.
To Manny.
So I think I've met Manny twice. Is that right? Is that correct?
Okay, so I'm trying to remember. I think the one time that we spent like a lot of time together that like I know you and Manny got the chance to talk more was after Monumental
yes.
in 2015 because we came over and like hung out and had pizza and beers and stuff at your house.
Yes. And that's when I was like, oh, he's like really cool and he's easy to talk to and he's funny. And then I met him in Boston and then after Boston in 2014.
That's right.
So
yeah.
Maybe Boston 2014 was the first time I actually met him and then after Monumental yep. was when I actually got to know him.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's so funny because when you follow someone and you're, you know, like we were friends already, but like through social media, like I know Manny through social media, through your Instagram
yeah.
and everything. And then you meet the person in real life and you're like, oh, okay, this is your personality. And
Yeah, definitely. I feel like Manny, like he's like so goofy. It's kind of like hard to describe to people.
Uh-huh.
You kind of just have to like experience him.
Yeah, he's awesome. So you guys got engaged when? Like, I know. So let's backtrack how you and I met real quick.
Okay.
So we met definitely through Twitter, right?
Yes. Yes. Because I think my brother Chris connected us. Like, he was like, oh, you should, like, you know, I don't know.
Well,
follow Lindsay or something like that. Or maybe I followed your blog.
And when did we meet in person, though?
I think we met in person when I came to town with my friends Shantana and Tim, and we went to the expo for the Carmel Half.
Oh, okay.
Because I ran that one in 2011, I think, when I started training for my first marathon.
And I was probably working a booth or something.
Yeah, you were. I remember we just talked to you for a couple minutes.
I am always at a race expo for some reason or another. In my life, I don't think I will ever get away from being at a race expo for some reason. But at that point, I was probably working in the back of my feet booth. And then you ran your first marathon in 2011, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that was Chicago. And you ran like a 3:32. And I was like, oh, she's fast. Like, that's really fast to run for your very first marathon.
It's just like, looking back on that now, I'm like, I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, Chris was my coach, and that was like such an amazing experience, because I feel like if I had done it on my own, I definitely wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. And I also just like wouldn't have taken the training as seriously. But like, I didn't even know like what it meant to qualify for Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know. Like, I remember thinking, like, Chris told me, he was like, 3:35 is like a good target, because if you do that, you can get into Boston. I was like, okay, like, sure. But like, that wasn't even the goal. He was like, your goal is just to finish your first marathon. And it just turned out to be like this amazing day. And I remember seeing him like in Pilsen at like mile 18 or 19. I turned the corner and he ran with me for like, I don't know, a block or two. And he was like, just stay here until mile 20 and then let your legs go. And I like, I didn't even hit the wall. Like, looking back on it now, like, I feel like I took it for granted, because now, I mean, like, you know, you think about your experience of running a marathon and you're always in so much pain. But I feel like that was like the best first experience that I ever could have had. And it's not because the time I ran. It's just because like how I felt. Like, I'd never experienced that feeling like, oh, my God, I never want to run a marathon again.
Which is insane, because I feel like 90% of the people that run marathons get that feeling on their first marathon.
Yeah. I feel like if I had felt that, I literally would never have tried it again.
Yeah. A lot of that probably had to do with like Chris's expertise giving you, because I feel like a lot of people train for their first marathon and they use like a Hal Higdon plan, which is great and fine, and Hal Higdon knows what he's doing, but without that like support of an actual coach, and while you weren't paying a coach, you had your brother, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I used, at the time, like, I think he knew exactly what I needed, and mm-hmm. I think that's something that only, like, a sibling can really know, or, like, a super close friend, or, you know, if you're really close to your coach. But I really liked the training plan, because it was a version of Run Less, Run Faster.
Oh, okay.
And so I only ran, like, 3 or 4 times a week.
Really?
But those runs were, like, they were hard. But I wasn't, like, burnt out. Like, I knew that, like, if I pushed through one workout, the next day would be a rest day.
Yeah. The Run Less, Run Faster method, I used that for my second marathon and had a really bad marathon. But here's what the issue was. I very much stuck to the running 3 days a week, but I did shit for cross training.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like – and then for a couple years – after that, I was kind of like trashing that method, because I was like, that's not enough running, you know?
Yeah.
But looking back, it's like, yeah, it's not enough running if you only hop on the elliptical like one time for 45 minutes a week, you know?
Yep.
And the older I get, I don't think that I'll go back to like the 3 day a week thing when marathon training, but I definitely don't think I'm going to do a 6 to 7 day a week training. And I mean, the cross training just has to be there if you're not gonna run.
Yeah, it's also just mileage. It's just nice to like change it up, you know? Like,
yes.
I've always been the type of runner that like I don't think I've ever run consistently 6 to 7 days a week.
Yeah.
If I go there, like, I just start to not enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I typically do, I mean, when I'm like peaking, it might be 6, but it's only for like 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the time, it's only 5 runs a week.
That's what I've always loved about you. Like, I know that you appreciate a rest day.
Yeah, I totally do.
Like, you do not feel like you have to run 100 miles a week just because everybody else is running 100 miles a week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely happier. Like, I would rather peak at 50 miles than, like, go for, you know, 65 or something like that. And just, I just feel like I can put myself in a hole that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it becomes a daunting task rather than something you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So you've ran 6 marathons, right?
Yeah. Yep, okay. 6.
So Boston twice?
Boston twice. So first it was Chicago and then Twin Cities the following year in 2012. And then Boston 13, 14. And then Monumental. And then Honolulu with my sister, like, 6 weeks later.
Honolulu. Yeah. Was that your last one?
Yeah, it was my last one, even though I've trained for some others, obviously.
Right, yeah. So you had this awesome progression because you did, like, 332, 317, 314?
Yeah.
Right?
314 at Boston.
And then you had a not-so-hot race for you.
In 2014.
Yes. But I remember after the race, like, I remember thinking, I feel bad for Jenny because I know she's trained to run so much faster than she did, and I don't know how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember admiring so much how good your attitude was.
Was it? I mean,
yeah.
Was it?
It was.
I was definitely super upset, and I definitely had, you know, that good hour of, like, crying in the by, like, the tents and stuff and, like, mm-hmm. meeting up with my family. I was super, super upset. But then, like, an hour later, I remember just thinking, like, but that's, I mean, I, that was the day I was given. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I salted out at, like, mile 13.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's nothing you can do at that point. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I was kind of in the dumps about it a little while, but, I don't know. It's interesting to, like, look back and it's so fresh at that moment that mm-hmm. it's, like, hard to process.
Yeah. Well, I saw you after the race. I mean, I finished, like, way behind you. And I saw you after the race, and I think we just chatted a little bit. But then we met up with you guys at – I was with Katie Edwards, and we met up with you guys at dinner for a little bit.
Yeah.
And you were, like, happy chatting with everybody, and you're like, this is what it is. And I just remember thinking, that's the way it should be. Because maybe you didn't have the day you trained to have, but, like – you finished a marathon.
Yeah.
Right? Totally.
I mean, any day that I can do that, that's a good day. And I also just think that Boston is so different, you know? Uh-huh. And coming back, like, after 2013, like, it was so funny because the way I talk about it now is obviously 2013 is still super hard for me to even put into words. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I had, like, the race of my life at that point, like a 314 at Boston. I was like, oh my God, what could I do, like, on a flat course? So, like, you know, if it were even, like, a little cooler or whatever, like, what could I do? And then obviously the tragedy of that day. And then I went back in 2014, I had a terrible race, but I still had a really good experience because mm-hmm. the energy, like, in Boston, especially in 2014, was so different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't even put it into words. Like, everybody was, like, so thankful to be there. And that community is, I mean, obviously that's, like, a huge part of why we do it, you know? Running is, like, such an individual thing. But when you have moments like that, that, like, bring everybody together, it's like, I get, like, emotional thinking about it.
I'm with you. Like, 2014, I literally just went because I was like, I can't not experience this. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I knew how awesome it was going to be. And I knew, I don't know a better way to say it, but, like, it's kind of like a celebration race and, like, a race to honor everybody that was injured or killed in 2014 or 2013. And I feel like it brought the running community together, and I wanted to be a part of that so bad.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say it was, like, a big party, you know, but
it kind of was.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, because, like, all your favorite people, I mean, it's funny. It's like all your favorite Twitter people, but these relationships, like, I met my closest friend through Twitter, and it's because, like, it's like these just amazing people. Yeah. It's Corey, CT, and Liz, and, like, all, I mean, my closest circle, they were all, like, on Twitter, like, from, like, day one, like, when we were on Twitter, like, 6 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
And I just feel like in those situations and for those big races, it's just so nice to know that like you can go have a fun experience because you're going to know like a lot of people there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that was fun too, because I knew I would be meeting up with you guys and yeah. Laura Anderson and all kinds yeah. of people. So that's interesting. So Corey, CT, that I don't know how to say her name. Chantana?
It's Shantana.
Shantana. Okay. I've always been like, whenever I say her name in my head, I always say it wrong.
That's
Shantana.
So
and then Liz. Is that Liz Heisler?
Liz Heisler, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I follow her on Snapchat. But so you didn't know any of those three girls before Twitter?
No.
I mean, and literally they are like your best friends.
Yeah.
So did you start following each other and you were like, we all run in Chicago, we live in Chicago, like let's start meeting up? And is that kind of how it worked?
So I first met Shantana, and that was probably, well, it was the year that she first BQ'd. She ran Wisconsin. So that was the year that I was like training for my first marathon. And I was like, I just feel like I need to be around other runners, because mm-hmm. not a lot of my friends were like running. Like they were running, but they didn't have the goal of like running a half marathon mm-hmm. or marathon. And I just needed to be around people that like kind of like understood what I was going through. Mm-hmm. And there were like these runner meetups. Like we would meet for like burgers and beer, and it would just be this organized thing that we would tell each other about through Twitter or whatever. And we would meet up like once a month or something like that. And I remember I went to like one of my first ones, and I made Manny go with me. It was like felt like a blind date. It felt like
it's
I know
awkward.
These people. It was super awkward, but like it turned out to be a lot of fun. And Shantana was there, and the week before that, or the weekend before that, she had run Wisconsin. So it was kind of like we had followed each other for like months, and we're like, oh, we should probably meet in real life.
It's and funny. Then, that's so funny, because you feel like you really know the person, but then when you actually see them face to face, you're like, is this going to be awkward, or are we really going to be like as natural as we are on the internet?
I mean, the great thing about these girls is like their personalities online are their personalities in real life. Like that's what I really appreciate about them. Like they're not trying to be somebody different, or, you know, it's just refreshing to be with people that like, you know, you're getting like 100% them.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. But I want to backtrack again to Boston. So the Boston 2014 experience, we got that. But then you ran Monumental.
Yeah.
That fall.
Yeah.
And you ran 311.
311.
And I got to see you.
It was so much fun to see you on the course. I think I saw you a couple of times.
Yeah, so I saw you at mile 10, and I was like, man, she looks so calm. Like, I hope that, because I was pregnant with Lewis, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. Right? Yes. Okay. Every year this happens at Monumental, I'm like, I want to race Monumental, and then I'm freaking pregnant, or I like just had surgery, or I just had, like this year, I'll have just had a baby like 2 weeks prior. And, but anyway, when I saw you, I was pregnant with Lewis, and I remember thinking, when I race again, when it's my time again, I hope I look that natural and comfortable at mile 10. Like, I'm not stressed. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously you weren't in pain yet, and like you were just, you know, getting to the sweet spot of the race. But like,
yeah.
I just remember thinking you looked really happy and just like chill.
Well, I was. And that, I think that training cycle, if you remember, I like fell. I fell mm-hmm. running, which is like the most clumsy thing that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell like week one of a 16-week training plan. And I fell super hard on my kneecap, and I ended up having bursitis.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant, like, I was looking back at my training logs the other day just to, like, remind myself, like, what I went through. So I think I took, like, a total of 3 or 4 weeks of zero running, and I got a cortisone shot because my doctor was like, we've allowed the inflammation to kind of, you know, do its own thing, but, like, I think that your body's not going to let this heal. So I got a cortisone shot, and then you have to take, like, another week off to, like, make sure that you're not running through pain, because it'll mask it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a 12-week cycle for Monumental. So by the time I got to the start line, I was kind of like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm just going to like see what happens. Like that's literally, I remember talking to Manny at the start line at Monumental, which is awesome because it's so small. You're in the convention center
mm-hmm.
and you kind of just like walk out. Everything about that experience was so easy,
mm-hmm.
especially compared to Boston.
Oh gosh, seriously.
You know? Like, it's just so nice to, like, wake up in my mom's house and, like, you know, drive downtown. And, you know, 5 minutes from the start, I just go, yeah, okay, I'm going to go line up. So it was awesome. But I just remember thinking, like, I dealt with like that injury. I put in all the work that I could within 12 weeks, and we'll just see what happens.
So were your workouts like, you know, your speed sessions that you were doing for the race, were they indicative of the time that you ran? Like, did you kind of think, if I have a good day, I can do this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely, like, I had always thought that, like, 3:10 in the back of my mind would be amazing. But I also just, I think what I really wanted was any PR. Yeah. Like, if I PR'd by 30 seconds, I would have been happy.
Yeah.
And it was just awesome to just be, like, 3 minutes. Like, that's solid.
Yeah, but really solid. What was that your first? Yeah, that was your first year running Monumental. What do you think about that course?
I love that course.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was a bit windy that day, but I think we pretty much had it like the first half.
Yeah.
And then I expected a bit of a tailwind like in the second half, but I think it was probably just because I was in so much pain, I didn't even notice it, or it wasn't there. I don't know. Yeah, that course is awesome. It's a little, you know the course, so it's like a little empty towards the back half. So you really just have to depend on your own mental energy to get through. Especially I remember like 21 or 22 before you get like to that, when you're running towards a circle. I loved it though. I mean, obviously it's flat, it's fast. I would do it again.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only downside of that course is like back there around like mile, is it like 21, 22 when it does get pretty desolate. There's only so much, you know, the race can do about that, piece of it. And I know that every year it has improved. What do you think about the straightaway though on Meridian? Cause I've ran Monumental 3 times. And never have I ran it when I've been in peak racing shape. Like 1 year, Glenn and I ran it. It was like our 4th marathon or something. And we like, were not trained at all. We were like, it's here. Let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1 year I ran it with a friend and I was like 6 weeks pregnant. And then the other time I ran it was 4 months postpartum.
Yeah.
After Marshall, which is like way too soon to run a marathon. Don't,
oh, that's fast.
Anybody listening, don't do that. Like, you don't need to run a marathon 4 months postpartum. I did. And, so my point is though, is that I've never ran it when I've like, oh, I'm really trained. I'm super fit. Like I want to race this course. So every year I always think, what would that straightaway on Meridian really feel like if it was like the last 5K of my race? You know, like you're heading down, you see the city. What was like going through your mind?
I mean, I was definitely in the pain cave.
Yeah.
Like by the time I got to 23, I was like, I don't know if I can like keep pushing my legs this fast. I pretty much did even splits.
Yeah.
Typically I do a progressive. So like my best races have been, you know, the first 5 or 6 miles, like I'm just getting into a groove, but it's definitely like 10 or 15 seconds slower than what my goal average pace is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I just went out like, and that was my plan for Monumental, but I just like started running and I locked into that pace and I kind of never let go of it. So it was definitely like my most even split race, I think, that I've ever run. So yeah, by the time I got to like the last 5K, like that, I really appreciated the straightaway because like turning at that point is hard no matter what. But it just felt long. Like, yeah. I was like, this is never going to end.
Mm-hmm. That's what
and
I always
make
think.
Those final turns.
Yeah.
I remember looking up, and I definitely had, like, pain face. Like, if you look back on my pictures, like, I remember posting some of those. It was, like, really bad. But I remember looking up, and the guy goes, oh, my God, look at this finish. And I think at the time I was, like, running a sub-7 pace because I just wanted it to be over.
Yeah.
And this guy goes, you have 2 more turns. And I was like, I have to make 2 more turns.
Don't tell me that.
I cannot do that. Yeah. Yeah. It hurt. It hurt really bad.
I always like visualize how I will feel on that last like home stretch down Meridian because it is so long, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, well, I saw you on the last turn. Like, I mean, I saw.
Yeah. You got that photo of me.
I took a really awesome picture. And she looks awesome. Like you were just kicking. And I don't even remember if you saw me. Did you see me?
I mean, I never see anybody at the end of a race.
Yeah.
Like people can be like
zoned out at that point.
I was so zoned out because you have to be like, you're in so much pain. I like literally it's like a blur. And in the tunnel, I don't see anything. I don't see anything other than the finish line.
Yeah. Well, you looked really good, and I think it was, like, right before the last turn. I think I saw you literally, like, 25 seconds before before you finished.
That was awesome.
Okay, everybody, before I continue my conversation with Jenny, I want to give a shout out to the sponsor for this episode, which is PrepDish. You guys have heard me talk about PrepDish over the last few weeks, and I am so sold on what Allison, the chef over there, is doing. She's a dietitian, and she puts together amazingly delicious, healthy meals for you. Gives you a grocery list, and it's completely organized, so when you go to the store, you can just check off your list and get in and out quick. And then on Sundays, you prep your meals for the entire week. It takes about 1 to 3 hours, but then during the weekdays, when you get home from work and you're wondering, what the heck am I gonna make for my family for dinner? You don't have to do that if you use PrepDish because it's already done for you. Go to PrepDish.com/another, use promo code another, all caps, for a free 2-week trial. You guys, free, it's absolutely free, and it's not time consuming. You don't have to spend hours on Pinterest trying to figure out what the heck you're gonna make for dinner. Thank you, Allison and PrepDish, for sponsoring this episode, and you guys go check it out. All right, let's continue our conversation with Jenny. So let's talk about what's going on now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're training for Chicago. You've been training for Chicago. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm kind of like at this point, I just made this decision a couple weeks ago. So this was even, I mean, I started thinking about this decision maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I decided that I don't want to run a marathon this year. And it's like, it was a really hard decision for me to make because there's nothing that's preventing me from doing it like health-wise. Like I'm healthy. I was like putting in the work. I think my longest run so far was 18 miles and it didn't feel horrible. I definitely felt like I had a lot of time to put in and, you know, you always think like, yeah, maybe I can pull out a PR. Like, let's see what's going to happen. But I don't know. I was waking up every day just going like, oh, I just like don't want to do it. Like my motivation for running just kind of crashed. And it's been a gradual thing this year. So, I mean, I think it's like, it's interesting for me because all I wanted last year was to run Chicago and I had a stress fracture. Mm. So at that point I was like putting in all the work and like my body failed me. And I probably did something obviously to cause that. Like you always do. Like, you know, you need to be like in tune with what your body is doing. Mm-hmm. And so when it came to like this year, I was like, I'm healthy. Like I'm doing the workouts, but like the kind of like the will to do it and like the emotional and mental energy to like put into training just isn't there. And I think that's for a couple of reasons. Like there's a lot going on in my life.
Yeah.
But it's all good stuff. And I think it's really hard to step away from a race when you are healthy. Mm-hmm. And it feels a little disappointing because you're like, well, what's wrong with me? Like I should be able to like churn these workouts, you know, and I should be able to wake up at 5:30 in the morning and put in all this time and then go to work, you know? Mm-hmm. But right now I feel like for me personally, like I can't be good at four things. Like I can't be good at my job. I can't have a really good social life and spend time with people that I love. I can't train for a marathon and I can't plan a wedding at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like any normal human being would be like, yeah, that's too much.
Yeah.
You know? Right. Like you have to pick like what you have the energy for. And when it came down to it, it's like, I talked to Manny and I remember like, I just kind of vocalized it. One Saturday I was like making coffee and I skipped my long run. Cause I was like, no, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it on Sunday. And I was making coffee and I just remember thinking, like, I looked up at Manny and I said, what if I don't run Chicago? Mm-hmm. And that was like, it was just like the first time that I kind of vocalized it and it just like popped up. And then it took me like 3 or 4 weeks to actually like make the decision. And I was definitely super sad about it, but I knew, and I still know that like, it's the right thing for me. Like I just felt so relieved to not have to spend that time doing it. And that doesn't mean that I'm not exercising and I'm not running.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, if I want to go to a spin class, I'm going to do that after work. If I want to sit on the couch and read a book for 2 hours, like I'm doing that. So it's just been interesting. I posted about this on Instagram this week and I was so shocked at the response. Like everybody was just like, amen. Like this is so great to like, people were saying that it's like refreshing to hear somebody say like, I just don't have the energy for it.
It's so true. Yeah.
A lot of people feel that way, but they just don't, they don't know how to articulate it, or they feel like they're quitting.
Well, and here's the thing, it's like, you could do all those things if you really wanted to do them, but are you going to do them all to the best of your abilities and with the energy that you really want to do them if you're doing all of them?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I would rather just choose a couple and, like, be rested and happy and healthy. And I mean, it's just, like, such a – I don't want to be like, oh, my God, I have to run, or, oh, my God, I have to plan this wedding. Like, it's all good stuff. It's just, like, I want to choose the one that's serving me right now.
Well, and you're only getting married once.
Like, I know.
Probably, right?
Definitely.
Hopefully, Manny's on the same page there. But like, you,
Manny,
have...
if you're listening, it will be the one time.
Manny, you are stuck for life. But you have the opportunity to run millions of more marathons. So like, why put the pressure on yourself to do it right now when you're like, you're planning your wedding. That's the one time in your life you're going to do this.
Yeah. And I think it's so funny because if I were talking to like anybody that's like not in the running world, they'd be like, well, yeah, like even Liz was like the first one to tell me like the only person that's like forcing you to run right now is you. Like, if you don't want to do it, just don't do it. So I was like, that is like, I really appreciate just like dumbing it down and be like, I just don't want to, so I'm not going to.
Don't you feel like, do you feel, not that you regret any of the marathons that you've ran or that you will run in the future, but do you feel like, and maybe not necessarily to you, but to other people, like there's just this pressure because you have this like social media community and you're like, well, she's doing a fall marathon and a spring marathon and she's probably going to PR in the fall and the spring. And I want to keep up with the, for lack of a better term, Jones is in the running community.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's definitely that element to it. And, you know, while we can talk about how great the running community is, like, social media does, like, feed into the need to want to do all the things.
Yeah. You know?
And I feel like in the past year, I've kind of stepped away from that because I really appreciate people that share their training and, you know, they're definitely motivating people to, like, get out of bed in the morning and, like, get a workout done. Like, I really appreciate people that put that out there. But I think the other side of that is that just because you don't wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning doesn't mean that you're not a productive human being, you know, or because you run at night, you know, that doesn't mean that you're a less strong runner or something like that. So yeah, I just think that I've been sharing a little less on social media because it's a personal thing. Like running is so personal.
Yeah. Well, and I'm with you there because I do see all types of people like post that they, you know, get their workout in at 5 a.m. and whatever. And I'm like, I am doing nothing but sleeping in my bed at 5 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
I get it though. That's like the only time of day some people have to do that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it has made me feel guilty. Like, oh, I should get up and just like go knock this out. But in reality, I don't like to do that.
I don't either.
I think I like to sleep in the morning.
Yeah. Like lately I've been taking like a half an hour to read a book and sip a cup of coffee in the morning before I go to work.
That is the best way to start the day.
It really is.
I would rather have quiet time and read or whatever than get up and spend that time working out right then. Because my body's not ready for it. My mind's not ready for it. And it is peaceful to go pound the pavement and have some miles to yourself in the morning. Yeah, I get that. That's peaceful. But like, I kind of just like want to sit and like start the morning slower.
Me too. And I think it changes. Like I used to be, when I was training for my first couple marathons, like I was that person waking up at 5 because I just like didn't want to, especially in the heat, like I didn't want to run after work because it's 90 degrees or something.
Right.
Yeah, I think it changes. Like, and I've just realized in the past year, like I don't want to fight to be a morning runner. Like I just want to run when my body feels like running. And for me right now, that's like after work.
So I'm assuming you're not going to do a spring marathon.
No.
Okay. I mean, if you're, because your wedding's in June, right?
Yeah, June 3rd.
Yeah. Okay. And isn't it going to feel amazing to just like on Saturday morning to not have the pressure? Like I have to go run like 15 to 20 miles. Like I can get up and go run 6 miles and go do whatever I want.
Yeah. I mean, especially in the winter. Training in Chicago in the winter is an animal.
Seriously. So back to the beginning of this conversation when I said, I know when you got engaged.
Yeah.
So that was at Carmel this past year.
Yeah.
Can you tell everybody about that?
I can definitely tell everybody about that. So I had fully trained through the winter. I wanted to run Carmel again because it was like another hometown feel. And it was also the same, I think it was the same weekend as Boston. So it was like this Saturday or Sunday before Marathon Monday. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like there was like all this good energy. Like everybody was like, everybody's training for Boston. You know, I had other people that were like around me, you know, doing their long runs on Saturdays and stuff. And I really just wanted to run Carmel because it was another chance to like go home and see my family and all that. And it was also supposed to be marathon number 7, which was like a good, I don't know. There was just like so much goodness about it. And like most spring races, you train in, you know, 20 degrees to maybe 35 if you're lucky. You train through the wind and all that stuff in Chicago. And then you arrive on race day and it's like 60 degrees and super humid,
mm-hmm.
like stupid humid. So I remember seeing Glenn because he was pacing. I forget what pace group was it, 315
or
320?
315.
Yeah. And I remember thinking like, oh yeah, I'm just going to like hang with Glenn. Like this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And I like my mindset was like, and you should never go into a race like this, especially a marathon. I was thinking, I'm just going to hang out. Like this is going to be so much fun. Like I wasn't even thinking about like the pain that I was going to go through. And then like gradually by the sun came out and it was like, I think it was like 80% humidity that day. Like it was brutal. And I remember by like mile 9 or 10, I completely fell off the pace and I wasn't even with Glenn anymore. And I like, there was nothing that I could do.
Yeah.
So here I am. I'm like, Manny's in town. He drove me to the start line. I really just wanted to finish it, like, cause I was healthy. Cause I came back from my stress fracture when I was training for Chicago. And I was like, I just want to finish. Like, I'm just going to finish. It's fine. And then by the time I got to like mile 13, I was like, yeah, I'm done. Cause I knew the course map and I knew that if I stopped at 13, like I could easily get back to the start and finish line.
Uh-huh.
If I kept going, it would have been terrible. And you know, there's no point in running another 13 if you feel that way. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't going for a time goal. Obviously I wanted to finish, but I wasn't like super attached to it. Like,
yeah.
You know, and that's also that should have been an indicator that I shouldn't have run it anyway, but I'd put in the work. So whatever. So I like, basically I take off my bib and I'm like run walking back to the finish line and I don't have my phone cause it's in our car. And Manny was like, oh, well, like I'm going to be at the finish line anyway. And it's a small race. So like he could have found me no matter what.
Right.
And then, so I remember I borrowed a woman's phone and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like I need to call my boyfriend. He doesn't know where I am. And I call him, I dial his number and he picks up. He's like, hello. And I was like, hey, I'm at the finish line. And he was like, you're at the finish line. And I was like, yeah, I'm at the finish line. He goes, wait, who is this? Is this Jenny? And I was like, yes, this is Jenny. I'm at the finish line. I like didn't finish the race. He was like, oh, okay. I'll be right there. And he was like there in 5 minutes. So he walks up with my mom and walks up my sister. And my mom was like, you know, she's super cute. She's like, what happened? Like, are you okay? Like, she thought something, like, happened. Nothing happened. I just stopped running.
Yeah.
And Manny, like, kept asking me. He was like, are you sure you're okay? Are you sure you're okay? Like, emotionally, too. Like, are you sure? And I was, like, so annoyed. I was like, why is everybody asking me this? Like, I just want to go get a beer and I want to go get a burger and it's a gorgeous day. So let's like just enjoy that, you know?
Uh-huh.
So we walked back to the car and I was going to change and I like took off my compression socks and I just wanted to get in dry clothes so I could go get that beer. And Manny's sitting in the car. We're like in the parking lot next to the finish line. And Manny literally goes, well, I had a plan today.
Aww.
And I was like, what did you have planned? Because all week I was going like, what do you want to do in Indy? Like we should plan. Like, do you want to go to Upland?
Uh-huh.
Do you want to go to some restaurant? Like, what do you want to do? So he never told me. And I was like, what do you have planned? And he opened the glove box in the car and he pulled the ring out. And I was like, shut up. I was like, no. And like instantly he just like started streaming tears.
Aww.
Like he couldn't even say anything and I couldn't even say anything. And yeah, so he got down in a parking lot.
But it
was also so us because
yeah.
Like, you know, like we were obviously making the best of that situation. But I think that if I had been super upset about the race, like that's why he was asking me, like,
right.
Are you okay? Like if I had been super upset, I don't think that he would have done it.
Do you think he would have done it the next day? Just like waited a day or something?
Probably.
Come up with another game plan.
Or like later after I had a beer and it was fine.
Well, and he should be glad because it's kind of like, well, any even if you weren't very sad, if you were sad for the race, like you don't need to think about that race anymore. You got better things to think about now.
Exactly. It was the best weekend. It was like,
that is so sweet.
It was gorgeous. He had told my whole family. Like so that's why like
were
my
they there?
They were there. I mean, they weren't with us when it happened.
Okay.
But they were at that brewery that's like, what is it called? I forget what it's called. It's right on the corner.
Oh, the
one that's on the Monon.
Yeah, in Carmel. I'm not the best with Carmel because I stay so central, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's funny because like we walked up and my mom like already knew. Like Manny had called literally every single one of my family members to tell them that it was going to happen the next day. And so it was like the rest of the weekend was just a celebration. It was really fun.
That was so fun.
It was the best weekend.
Okay, so you guys are getting married in June.
Yeah.
Yay, that's so exciting. So tell me, like, are you getting married in Chicago? Like, what does that look like?
We're getting married in Michigan, in St. Joseph.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... yeah, I mean, getting married in Chicago is stupid expensive. Like, really know how anybody does it.
Yeah.
And then I also just, like, growing up, I don't think that I ever thought that I would get married in Indy. And most of Manny's family is in Chicago.
Okay.
So it just, like, makes sense to be closer to Chicago. But also, like, St. Joe's is way, way cheaper, obviously. Mm. My mom also has a house in Michigan. So, like, that's kind of just our happy place. Like, to get out of the city and go to Michigan is, like, one of my favorite things. So the wedding is going to be in St. Joe and it's hopefully going to be a beautiful spring/summer day. And, wedding planning is going well. Like we have all the big stuff out of the way, which is really nice. We have the venue, we have the caterer, we have the liquor provider, which is key.
That's important.
We have the photographer. I have my dress. What else do we need? We have some kind of transportation stuff figured out. We have all the hotels booked.
As long as you like, have the dress and the booze and the husband,
exactly.
I think you're okay.
I know.
Isn't it so funny though? How old are you?
I'm 28.
Okay, you're only 28.
Yeah,
you're a baby.
Am I? I don't know. I don't feel like a baby anymore.
I think you are. and not that I think you look older than that, but I think I figured you were 30 by now.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was that much older than you.
Not. Oh my God.
Well, 5 years. I was just going to say, like, when I hear people talk about planning their wedding now, I'm like, oh my gosh, the things I would do differently. I mean.
Really? What would you do?
Well, I mean, I was only 20. I guess I was almost 25. So I was still 24 technically on the day we got married. And, you know, we just did like probably like what 80% of the weddings you've gone to in the past like 6 or 7 years have looked like, you know, just every, the big venue, everything was just what the standard wedding is.
And,
and we had so much fun. Like the dance floor was a huge party and it was awesome. But like, I just think it would be a little bit more like grown up. I don't know a better way to say it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Then, you know, like if I were to get married right now, like, and I don't know if you're going to do this or not, but I probably wouldn't do like a bouquet toss or.
Oh my God, I'm not doing that.
Right. You know what I mean?
Not doing that. Yeah.
See? And I think that's an age thing. Neither of my sister-in-laws did that and they got married in their 30s, you know?
Hmm.
So just like that, some of that traditional stuff that you just, at 24, I thought, oh, this is just what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. You know,
I get that. I think that's like something that like I was struggling with when I was making some of those early decisions or when we were making those decisions is that while those things are traditional, like I don't have a tie to those traditions.
Right.
Like, and they're so antiquated, you know, like why? And I also don't want to be that person at the wedding that has to go as a single woman and like stand on the dance floor and like try to catch some flowers.
Right.
Like that doesn't like do anything for me. And I think a lot of people just like hate that part about weddings.
They do.
Yeah. So like, I just want to do away with a lot of that stuff. Like
the only person that doesn't hate that is like the drunk 23-year-old who's like, you know, what with their friends and whatever.
Yeah.
And the older you get, the more you don't have that many people in that demographic at your
totally.
Wedding.
Yeah. I mean, we're also doing like some, I guess it, you would say that it's like non-traditional. We're doing a burger bar for food.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that.
I just feel like nobody wants to eat like the same chicken dish
and
that salad, you know?
Yeah, like salmon or chicken.
Yeah.
Steak or chicken. Yeah. Salad. Yeah, it's all the same. I know. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, for sure. Like there's just so many cute, fun, different things. More grown up things, you know?
Yeah. It's just fun to just be like, okay, this is like our day. How do we want to make that our day? Like what is it about the food or what is it about the venue that like we really like?
Mm-hmm.
And because we've been together for 9 years, like these are things that we're so settled in and like we know each other so well that doing something that doesn't feel like us almost just feels like stupid, you know, like, why would we make a decision just because other weddings do something a certain way?
So you've been together 9 years. So you were together since you were 19?
Yeah, we met the summer after freshman year.
And so is he the same age?
He's 6 months younger than I am.
Okay. You make assumptions of people, like when people have been together for a long time. Like I was like, maybe they don't want to get married. Like, you know,
yeah. I think a lot of people thought that we would never get married.
And to me, I was just like, people do that these days. Like people just don't get married.
Yeah.
Did you always think I want to get married and we'll probably get married?
Yeah. And I think for the past 5 years, I probably thought like, of course, Manny and I will get married.
Yeah.
Like, and we always talked about it. It was never like something that we just like swept under the rug. Like we always said like hypothetically, like, oh, like if we ever get married, I would love to do X, Y, and Z. Like we would talk about it like that. But then like, it's so funny the year basically leading up to me and proposing, like I just all of a sudden I was like, this has to happen. Like I turned into that person.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be that person at all. But I was like, I realized that it's super important I've realized that basically in the past couple months that I am traditional in certain ways. Like I really want to have like moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like just a good way to like, you know, start a life together. Like even though we already have our life together, I still want a moment to do that. And especially be like surrounded by our friends and family. Like I think that's super important. The month before Manny proposed, I was like so upset. I was like, I just feel like it's never going to happen. Or he's not taking me seriously.
Like, are we doing this or what?
Yeah. Like, I was like, we've been together so long. Like, let's just do it. Like, you know, I'm going to say yes. Let's just do it. So he did it.
Well, and what would he say? Would he be like, yeah, we're going to?
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be like, it'll happen. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, and then what you didn't know at the time was he was, like, looking at rings and trying to figure out the perfect way to do it.
Totally, yep.
So what is hot in your life right now that you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
This week, this is totally new for me. I am so addicted to the show Mr. Robot.
What is it?
Mr. Robot.
Okay.
I think it's on USA, but I've been watching it on my on Amazon. It's so he was nominated, the main actor was nominated for this and he won like best actor in a series or something last year.
Okay.
So there have been two seasons, but it's like, this is not a show that I would typically go for. It's like, it's kind of techie. He's a hacker. He's like trying to take down this evil corporation. And you've come to find out that he has a personal tie to it, that like, that's why he's motivated to take them down. It's just really, I don't know. I just feel like you have to watch it to understand like why it's so addicting, but he's got all this like personal stuff going on and the internal dialogue in the show is like the most interesting part to me. Cause he like narrates the whole thing from his perspective, like inside his mind.
So there's no robot in the show.
No robot.
Cause when I hear the word robot, I'm automatically like, meh.
Oh
I'm
my
like,
God. Me too. Me too. I think that's why I never watched it.
Because the word robot.
Yeah. And then Manny turned it on and I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
So you guys watch it together?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you guys watching anything else?
What are we watching? No, we've
kind
of...
You've given me some good suggestions in the past, I feel like.
Yeah, I think I suggested Catastrophe to you on Amazon and Transparent. Oh my God, we love Transparent too.
Now, there was another one too, which I've watched like two episodes and I plan to go back, but I haven't. Something about like ordinary people or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh.
What is it? It's like a family with and it goes through like there's like a dysfunctional brother or I don't know.
Oh my God, I don't remember.
Ordinary People?
Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I haven't given it enough time though, so.
I just feel like now there are so many shows. Like we were talking about this the other day. Like there are so many good TV shows to choose from, and it's because it's like Netflix and Amazon and all these people producing their own stuff.
Well, and Glenn will want to go back and rewatch something, and I'm like, why do you want to rewatch something? Like there's so many other good things, and I feel like when you rewatch something, it's like rereading a book. Like you're missing out on something new that you're never going to get to experience because you spend all those hours rewatching or rereading.
I get it. I mean, I definitely don't reread books. I would rewatch some shows.
What would you rewatch?
Oh my God. I mean, like this was like years ago. I was addicted to Brothers and Sisters because I watched it with my mom mm-hmm. and my sisters all the time. That mm-hmm. was fantastic. And mostly just because we would like binge on it when we were in Michigan.
I watched that. That's Sally Fields, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I also got, like, sucked into Parenthood. Like, that was my weekly cry.
I did Parenthood. I did that when I was pregnant with Lewis.
I was so sad when it ended.
And there's a new show out that people are, like, saying they hope it's the new Parenthood.
Is that the This Is Us one?
This Is Us, yes.
Yeah, I had some coworkers that watched it, but I didn't. I think it premiered this week, right?
Yeah, last night Glenn was like, everybody's talking about this show, and I was like, and he didn't say what it was, and I was like, oh, the Parenthood wannabe show, like, that's all I know is I keep seeing people saying they hope it's the new Parenthood, because everybody's so sad when Parenthood was over.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm watching Shameless right now.
Oh, awesome, I love Shameless too.
Have you watched it all?
Yeah, I'm all caught up.
So I love it. There's 6 seasons, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I'm only on season 2, and I love all the characters. I think the acting is, like, really good.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I have to say is, and I'm not a prude. I really am not a prudy person, but like there's a little too much sex.
Yeah, there is. There is.
I get it. Whatever. It's part of the show and what the show's about. But sometimes I'm just like, I don't really need to see that. Like that doesn't really need to be on. It's a little bit much there.
It is. It is. If you think that, you should never watch the British version of it because it's even worse.
Well, you know what? Like a few years ago, we started the British version, and this is something that's annoying about me, but like I have a really hard time watching shows where people have a strong accent. Like I could never watch.
I can't understand.
Yeah, and I just don't follow it as well. Like I don't know if it's because like I can't halfway pay attention. I have to focus more.
Yeah,
which is another reason why I don't think I could watch anything with subtitles.
Oh, okay. So you can't watch Narcos. That was another show that we were watching.
Oh, Glenn's obsessed with Narcos, so I can't get him to watch Shameless with me. Because he's so into Narcos. Like, I will sit on the couch and be watching Shameless, and he'll sit on the other end of the couch with his head
on
his iPad.
That's
watching
funny.
Narcos.
That's so funny.
Well, another thing with Narcos is, I'm sure it's awesome, but the first, like, 3 or 4 episodes, there were, like, a couple really graphic
violent
rape scenes, and I was like, I can't do this. And
I know.
But he said, honestly, those were, like, the only rape scenes, and I haven't seen any since.
100%. Yeah. I don't know why they would do that in the first couple episodes, but yeah, I thought the same thing.
Cause I was like, I honestly, like, I just can't stomach that.
Obviously like you have to focus cause you're reading the subtitles unless you are fluent mm-hmm. in Spanish. But mm-hmm. I actually appreciated that about that show because I would like be forced to put my phone down.
Yes.
I'm sure we're all in the same boat where we're like, we're literally on our phone the entire time we're watching something.
Yes.
And to like actually be forced to focus was refreshing.
I am totally with you there. And Shameless, you can kind of halfway focus. But
yeah.
I do try when it's like, okay, I want to zone out for the night. Like, I'm going to be like, I'm going to set my phone down. I'm not watching The Bachelor. You know, anything like that. My phone is out 24/7.
Totally.
But if it's a show, I'm like, I actually want to invest in this. I really do try to put it down at least for like 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Right?
What are you into right now?
What am I into? Well, let's see here. That's a really good question. I've been spoiling myself going to this. Have you ever been to like a Foot Finesse?
Yeah.
It's $30.
It's awesome.
$30.
Yeah.
For a massage.
I know. It's so great.
And it's not like for anybody listening who's never been to one, it's not like a typical massage. Like you don't get undressed. So you wear like super loose fitting, comfy clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so relaxing. It's like 55 minutes. It's almost a full hour. And it's a community room, so you're not like in your own room, but it's still quiet and they play quiet music.
Yeah.
So I did that yesterday, and then I did it again, like, I think I did it 2 weeks ago. And I told myself when I went 2 weeks ago, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go every 2 weeks until this baby comes, because I'm super uncomfortable. And I mean, $30 and then, you know, you tip, but you can't beat that.
You can't. I just also think, like, you know, I don't know if they start at your location, if they start with like your feet in that hot tub of water.
Yes.
Oh my God, it feels so good.
And then they put your feet in the hot tub of water, and then they start, like, I always make sure I take my hair out of the ponytail, because, you know, my hair is in a ponytail like 99% of the time.
Yep.
And they just like start massaging your head, and they massage like your eyes and your ears.
It sounds so weird, but like, yeah. My mom took me there, I think, when I was in middle school or high school, and then I found there's one here in Chicago. It's not called Foot Finesse, but it's like the same concept.
Yeah.
And I've gone a couple times here, but it's so funny because Manny mentioned that he wanted to do that either this weekend or next weekend. So I think we might do that.
Well, and I always tip really well because I'm like, $30? Like, I feel like I'm like cheating you. Like, this isn't fair. You should be making more than this.
When you go there, do they have you flip over? Because you can't do that right now, right?
Right. So that's the only thing that's annoying right now. I'm like, you guys really need to get like a different chair situation. So I think that because I hadn't been in a really long time, so I do the back, lay on my back, and then for the last 10 minutes, they just have me, like, sit on the edge of the, foot thing, and which is actually not super relaxing for me because I carry my baby, like, really high, and he, like, digs up into my ribs.
Yeah.
So, like, anytime I sit, like, it's so funny. You should see me when I drive. I'm all the way leaned back. You can't even see me from the side of the window because it's so uncomfortable. So, I know. I almost want to be like, is there another way we can do this?
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have, like a maternity one. Like, they make those massage tables that, like, you just hang, right?
Yeah, like the cutout. I would even, like, lay on my side, and I can lay like sort of on my belly a little bit, probably better than most pregnant people for some reason. I don't know why, but, or like if they just gave you a pillow to kind of like rest on. But I'm loving that. And then, the only thing I could think of right now, cause I wasn't thinking about this, but, I am obsessed with drinking hot water with lemon in it every single morning.
Ooh, I should do that.
I do. So I have them like super, ritualistic in the morning. So like I always like drink my water that's by my bedside table first, and then I get up and I boil my water because our microwave broke about a year ago and we have never fixed it.
That's really funny.
I know, like I was like, well, it's not even fixable, it's just like we have to buy a new one, and it's like up in the wall. And I told Glenn, I was like, I guess we don't even really need a microwave. Like,
and if you're not using it, then whatever.
I mean, I would use it if we had it, but like, it hasn't been a huge inconvenience. So, and people say microwaving stuff is bad for you. So I don't know if it is or not, but whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, I boil my water, do that. And then I always have my coffee right after that, but
See, that's my thing. Like, I'm a caffeine addict for sure.
Oh, I have to have coffee.
I love my huge cup of coffee. Like, I have a cup of coffee right here, right now, and it's, what time is it? It's 12:35.
You're an all-day drinker.
I'm an all-day, like, I would say until, like, it's unusual for me to have it, like, in the middle of the afternoon unless I'm really tired. Like, some days at work, like, on a Thursday or Friday, I'll have it at, like, 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
But that's, like, I don't know. What I basically do is, like, I sip my coffee super slowly and I end up like microwaving it or pouring a new cup so that it's hot. And then I basically drink it until I eat lunch.
And you like drink in that time frame, it's still only like 2, maybe 3 cups of coffee, but like.
Oh yeah. It's probably like 1.5. Yeah.
I used to do that too. What else do you have? What else are you loving?
What else am I loving? Okay. This is like super girly and like, this is definitely not something that like I would normally buy, but I bought like this face oil. Sounds so weird, but it's like, it's been, so you said you're super ritualistic. I'm the same way when I go to bed. Like I love washing my face and brushing my teeth and like putting my PJs on and lighting a candle. And like, I'm like, so that person, but this part of my routine is like seriously making me feel like I am having a spa night. So it's Ole Henriksen is the brand, or like whoever makes it. And it smells really good. I don't actually even know like what the scent is, but it's kind of like grapefruity. I can send you a link, but
yeah,
it's just like making my skin. I think I'm really going to use it in the winter, like when my skin is really dry, especially in Chicago. But it's just like super moisturizing, and yeah, it just like makes me feel good.
Is it an everyday thing?
Yeah. And like, I guess what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to wash your face, then put the oil on, and then put like your moisturizer on.
Okay.
So like the oil basically sucks in whatever's in your moisturizer and gets like into your skin.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds refreshing.
Like, I'm like excited. I'm actually like moving up my routine because I just want to do it. Like, so I'll get in my PJs at like 7 o'clock now and be like, yeah, I'm going to wash my face right now and put my oil on.
Oh, if I know I'm not leaving for the rest of the night, like I have to try really hard to not be like full out jammies at like 6
yeah.
p.m. I mean, yeah. my everyday casual clothes are already like jammy-ish enough.
Yeah.
But like to, especially now since I'm like super pregnant, it's like then to get into my like comfy shorts and my like oversized t-shirt, no bra, like.
Oh, it's the best.
I know. And I'm like, I'm really
no
trying.
The no bra is key.
Oh gosh, it's key. The only thing about that, and this is a little TMI to everybody listening, but man, my little guy, Lewis, man, he just grabs at your boobs and it hurts. So I do feel like I'm a little bit more protected with the bra on.
See, but that's legitimate for
that's
sure.
That's legitimate. It's like as soon as the bra's off, like they know they're there and they're just like, ah, and it hurts.
Like, get away.
I scream. What's the best, most recent book you've read?
Okay, so I have two and they're totally different. One is called You'll Grow Out of It by Jessie Klein.
Okay.
And Jessie Klein is a writer for, I think she's written for like SNL and some of the other like comedic shows, but she's also written for Amy Schumer.
Okay.
So is it a funny book? It's a super, super funny book.
Okay.
Like, but it's really, so like the concept is like she was a tomboy growing up like all the time and everybody said you'll grow out of it and she didn't grow out of it, but it's like all her experiences from that point of view, but it's hilarious. Like she has a chapter on finding her wedding dress and also just like the whole idea of marriage that like cracked me up. It was really, really good.
Okay.
And then my other one I just finished this week, it's called Dark Matter. And it's a book that's set in Chicago. So that selfishly, like that was really entertaining for me. I really love like knowing exactly like what bar somebody's walking into because they mention the name. Like it's just cool to know your city like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I guess it's kind of sci-fi-ish and it's kind of a thriller, which is another thing that's like not something that I would typically pick up. But everybody was talking about this book and I think it's a bestseller now. But it has to do with like the choices that you make in your life, like it totally affects like obviously down the road, like there are repercussions. So this guy, it sounds so weird. This guy was a scientist and he was basically trying to figure out how to get into infinity. So that if you in your life, like, so he was married and if he had decided to not get married, what his life would have been like.
Mm.
And there's this other version of him that comes from some other world that he is like a part of. It's like a, anyway, he comes back and he like captures him and it sounds so weird, but he has to basically fight his way back to his world.
Is it confusing?
No.
Okay. Cause it kind of sounds confusing, but
it sounds confusing, but it's not like the way they set it up is really fantastic. It's kind of like if you liked, Time Traveler's Wife.
Okay. I haven't read that, but I've heard lots about it.
It's kind of like that. Like, it's basically a love story with some kind of, like, time travel-ish thing going on.
Now, tell me this. Do you read on your Kindle or do you read real books?
I have an interesting answer to that question. I'm, like, half and half.
Okay.
So sometimes I just really want to pick up a real book and not be distracted by something else on my iPad. But then it's just, like, so easy. Like, I don't have to go out and get a physical book or order one from Amazon. Like, I can just download it within 2 seconds.
And you can have, like, 3 books on there if you...
Yeah.
You know, like, I like to be reading, like... I like to always have, like, something educational, something for fun.
Yeah,
even totally. If I'm just toting this book around with me and I read, like, 1 page every 3 days, like, I want to know that I have the option right there for me.
Yeah.
And then you can just have it all on your Kindle. And I do Kindle because it's easiest to read in bed with the Kindle.
Yeah.
And on the treadmill, but lately I have been liking real books again.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that I go like in phases. Sometimes I buy 3 physical books and I churn through them, and then the next week I'll buy one on my Kindle. It's just, yeah.
Now, these 2 books you're talking about, like, I think I would be totally fine with on my Kindle. It's a lot of times it's a book where, like, I'll want to, like, reference back.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a way to do that on the Kindle, but, like, I don't like to think a lot when I'm on my Kindle. Like, I don't want to be like, okay, how do I get back to there? Whereas,
yeah.
Like, a real book, I can, like, highlight it, dog-ear it, whatever.
And I also think that there's something about physical books where, like, if you really enjoyed it and you know of a friend that would enjoy it, you literally just give them the physical book.
Right.
Like,
because you're not going to reread it.
Right.
Or they can give it back and then you can give it to someone else.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, I love all your suggestions and what you're into in your books. They sound really good.
Yeah, you should pick one of them up.
Well, I'm definitely going to
send you. That's a good example, actually, because the You'll Grow Out of It, that was a physical book, and Dark Matter was a book on my iPad.
Okay, You'll Grow Out of It, that's definitely up my alley, because I've read all of the, like, the Mindy Kaling book,
yeah.
The Polar book, like, all those comedy women books, except
yep.
for the Ellen. I've never read Ellen's books. Does Amy Schumer have a book?
I think she does.
Yeah.
I think it just came out recently.
I've never read hers either, but I like having those, like, lighthearted, don't have to think, zone out books.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on today. This was super fun.
It was so much fun, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
And even though I already knew a lot about you, I feel like I learned a little bit more. And hopefully we can see each other soon. If you and Manny ever come to town, we have to get together.
Yeah, we're planning on coming to Indy in a couple weeks, so I'll text you.
Well, if my baby might be here, I might be busy. If he has not arrived, then we can get beers or whatever. I can't get a beer, but you can.
I'll drink one for you.
Yes. You guys can all drink double for me.
Awesome. Deal.
All right. Thanks, Jenny.
Bye, Lindsay.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you, Jenny, for coming on the show, sharing your story, and having a fun conversation with me. I had so much fun catching up and chatting with you. Thank you, Prep Dish, for sponsoring this week's episode. You guys go to prepdish.com/another for your free 2-week trial. Enter promo code ANOTHER in all caps. If you are a company or small business that would like to partner with this show, send me an email, lindsay@lindsayhine.com. And you guys, everything we talked about today will be in the show notes, lindsayhine.com. So don't feel like you missed out on anything if you didn't get a chance to write it down. I know Jenny had a lot of great books and suggestions for you all. Make sure you guys are following me on Twitter @lindsayhine and Instagram, lindsayhine626. Let me know what you thought about this episode. And I just have to say, welcome fall. Welcome October. I'm so happy you're here. I cannot wait to wear sweatshirts and leggings every day for the next 2 months. We will see you guys next Friday when the new episode drops. Have a wonderful weekend.